The official end of summer. official beginning of
fall.
I was going to say football season, but you know. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, Tennyson Fitch, not next Sunday, but the next Sunday, Tennyson is how many of you remember Tennyson has been here before? Tennyson is an outstanding, anointed Bible teacher. He really, really is. He raised up, pioneered three or four different churches from the ground up and got them well established. He traveled with Lester Sumrall, and before he even met Lester Sumrall, the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to give you a father-son relationship with Lester Sumrall, and that came to pass. And we met Tennyson many, many years ago and have been fast friends since then. Amen. Didn't know him. Just sat beside him at a meeting at Rhema, actually a luncheon. And so he and Carol will be with us. We're excited about that. What Caleb was alluding to was the church he's been pastoring for the last many, many years. He turned that over to his son. Now, he's still there. He said, you know, that's challenging. He said, I was gone one week and I came back and they turned the auditorium around a different way. He said, but you just got to, he's the pastor, not me anymore. But anyway, he still ministers there a lot. But he's always, even as a pastor, he's always traveled a lot more than the average pastor. But he's coming. Amen. He's you know, he's 72, 73, something like full of the fire of God, not ready to retire, you know. But we're looking forward to him coming. And then we are going to have some of the bulletin, but coming up here in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have teen night at the pastor's house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Teen night at the pastor's house. And we're going to feed you good, and we're going to take care of you, and we're going to have a good time together. And so we are looking forward to that because we care about you greatly. Glory to God. And then this CCF Crusader Family Night, you understand that Cleveland Christian School is a ministry of Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Without you guys, you know, and the rest, you know, there is no such thing as Cleveland Christian School. So you are, you know, yet at the same time, especially because of the last couple of years, we hadn't had any fellowships in the gym or anything. We have church members who never even been in the gym. So we want you to come out, not cost you anything, be free, you know, because it costs to go to these games. What does it cost to go to one?
Five for adults, three for children.
Five and three, you know, it could cost you $25 or $30 as a family go. But you come out and be free, and you know, you're already free. Come out free. Amen. And hopefully see the Crusaders lead us to a victory. Amen. Glory to God. So those are things coming up. CCF. Family night. By the way, in chapel was it this Wednesday? There were several kids that got saved at chapel at Cleveland Christian School. We have several kids saved every year. You know, the younger ones come along and we're so excited about that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, Tony, why don't you come up here and give us the second half of your testimony? Tony, you know, where's the microphone? Tony, you know, he failed all the heart tests, you know. So they went in there expecting to put a stent in, but then when they got in there, they said, well, there's nothing for us to do because we can't find any blockage. And, of course, from a medical viewpoint, I guess they were saying, we're not saying there's nothing wrong with your heart. We're just saying there's nothing for us to do here because we can't find any blockage. But that's not the rest of the story, is it, Tony? So to say anything you want to say about the first part or the second part.
Most of you have heard, some of you haven't. You know, when I went, I had to go to the emergency room 8 weeks ago, I guess. I can't even remember how long it's been now. And which I failed the stress test, and they did ultrasound on my heart and failed it. Said your heart's only pumping 50% of, you know, what it's supposed to be pumping. And they come in and told me, you know, just when I thought I was getting better, they come in and said, by the way, we don't take your insurance up here. I'm like, okay. That'll really put you into cardiac arrest. Yeah. So this one procedure I had was $22,000, you know, and...
Whoa.
Yeah, and... So I get transferred to Erlanger, and I go down there, and they look at all my, everything's documented, you know, everything. That's why I brought this morning. But they look at all my statistics and everything, so they decide to do a heart catheterization on me. And for those of you that don't know what here, you know, I came in on Sunday morning, and I'd called Pastor Mark, and I said, you know, I want y'all to anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith on me, according to James chapter 5. And they did on Sunday. Monday, I went in, I did the procedure at Erlanger, and, you know, I wake up, I'm like, on the table, you know, well, what'd you find, you know, what was going on? I said, nothing, we can't find anything, nothing. There's no blockages, no stents, no nothing. And so I'm like, well, that's good, you know. But when you go the world's way and medical science's way, you gotta follow. I learned this from Pastor Mark when he was dealing with cancer. You know, he would go for the shots and the stuff, and he'd say, I didn't care if they were shooting mustard in my veins. I knew I was healed. Well, that was the same way with me, but I still had to go their way. So they had me on all this medicine, and I took it for 30 days afterwards. Made me feel terrible. But I took it, and then I went back on my scheduled appointment, and he went in there, and he looked at everything, and he said, well, son, we can't find you. You have no blockage whatsoever, period. Don't know what happened. Can't explain it. He just was bewildered. And then he said, so all these medications he had right here, I have a list of them here. They took me off 5 medications. And he told me, he said, just come back and see me in 3 months for a follow-up, you know. And I take one medication right now. I'm going to tell you that. I take one medication right now. And I'd been taking it before this situation, and it was for high blood pressure. And he said, if you lose some weight and start exercising, he said, you can get off. We'll get you off that one too. No problem. So no medications, no blockages. You know, I feel great. I've been working like a slave for the last few weeks, doing some stuff at my mother's house. But, you know, I just praise the Lord that he's a God of restoration, healing and restoration.
Amen. And give glory to God.
I'm probably forgetting something, but I'll tell you later if I am. Thank you.
Good stuff, Tony. Good stuff. Can you give God praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Give me that water bottle right there. Glory to God. Go ahead and find 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. Amen, glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days. How many of you want to see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We will come back in about 20 minutes or so and look at this scripture in detail. We want to conclude our series this morning. Every spiritual blessing is ours. I had thought that this would be the last Sunday morning message, and then Wednesday would be the last message, because on Wednesday nights we'd been, as a part of, you know, healing is one of those spiritual blessings that belongs to us. And so we wanted to talk a little more in detail about that. So for the last several Wednesday nights, we've been talking about how that healing belongs to us. Amen. But in looking at healing, we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, 8 things you need to know about divine healing. 8 things you need to know. And we've covered 7 of those, so there was one left, that is number 8. And so, but I realized that point 8 is a perfect conclusion to the whole series, not just the healing part of it. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying here? Amen. So throughout this series, we have not only wanted to look at some of the specific spiritual blessings that belong to us, like healing, like financial blessings, like deliverance from sin and so forth, but we have also wanted to emphasize how to receive these blessings by faith. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, you remember, says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. What are all those spiritual blessings? They're everything that Jesus Christ bought and paid for us when He died on the cross for us and was raised from the dead. Glory to God. And so these blessings belong to us. Legally, they belong to all of us. They're just waiting for somebody to release faith and receive them in their own life. Can you say amen? And so point eight of our 8 points you need to know about divine healing, especially if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, has to do with the number one hindrance there is to faith that will keep you from receiving from healing. Not the only hindrance, but the main hindrance, the number one hindrance. And it's also the number one hindrance, the main hindrance that will keep any believer from, by faith, receiving any one of these spiritual blessings. And so here it is, point number eight to the conclusion of our healing belongs to us part of this series, and to the overall conclusion of this series is this: know that if you don't walk in love toward others, your faith won't work. If you don't walk in love toward others, your faith won't work. And if your faith doesn't work, then you can't receive the healing, even though it belongs to you. If your faith doesn't work, you can't receive any of the promises or provisions or blessings of God that belong to you. Amen? Glory to God. It's the main thing that will stop you from receiving any of the blessings that belong to us. And I want you to listen carefully. I want you to hook up with me right now and believe with me, because I think, you know, hopefully we'll preach it good, but it's one of the most important things you can ever learn. We're going to talk about this morning. Glory to God. It really, really, really is. And by not walking in love, not walking in love will hinder your faith and stop your faith. By not walking in love, you know, sometimes you could just say unforgiveness, but I think people just get focused on the wrong thing and say, well, I don't have any forgiveness against anybody, but then they talk bad about people all the time. If you're talking bad about people, you're not walking in love. So by not walking in love, I'm talking about not being in strife with others. I'm talking about you don't have a grudge against somebody. You're not holding something against somebody. You don't have unforgiveness or resentment or bitterness in your heart against somebody. And you're not using your tongue. This is a big deal. You're not using your tongue to criticize and talk bad about others. And you're not being judgmental and condemning and critical of others. And these things really all work hand in hand. In other words, if I'm talking bad about somebody, it's probably because I've got something against them. That's the reason I'm talking bad about them. Amen. If I'm being judgmental and critical and saying bad things about people and portraying people in a bad light, you know, I mean, if I'm talking to Doug about somebody and I'm talking about this person, it doesn't present them in a good light. You know, it slanders them in some way. It gossips about them some way. I'm saying something bad about that person, then it's probably because I'm in strife with them, or probably because I've got some kind of grudge against them. So this all works hand in hand. But the bottom line truth is, not walking in love will hinder your faith. That means your faith won't work. It will hinder your faith from working. It'll hinder your prayers from working. And according to the Scriptures, not walking in love will open the door and give Him legal access into our lives to afflict us in some way. When we don't walk in love, we step out from under God's umbrella of protection, and we get over on the devil's territory. And out there, you know, he has a right to attack us. Well, when he attacks you, that means you're going to be sick, or that means you're going to have some kind of mental problem, or some kind of family problem, or some kind of financial problem. Now, anybody can be attacked, but, you know, it's one thing to be attacked and overcome. It's another thing to be attacked and be defeated. You follow what I'm saying? Amen. Glory to God. So if my prayers won't work and my faith doesn't work and the devil has free access into my life to steal, kill, and destroy, then that's a formula for failure. That's a formula for loss. That's a formula for defeat. No doubt about it. And there are many, many scriptures that reveal this truth to us, and you could just teach on this one point for weeks and weeks at a time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some scriptures, write these scriptures down, You know, go home and look at them, read them for yourself, study them out for yourself. But I'm just going to mention these and say some things about them because I just want you to see these different scriptures back to back to back to back to back. Amen. For instance, Galatians 5:6 says, faith works or is made effective by love. And primarily that's talking about, you're in context, people do a lot of things with it, but if you study it out, it's talking about love. It works by love, your treatment of others. Amen. Faith works by love. It doesn't work, in other words, if you're not walking in love toward another person. And then Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26, he said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Literally in the Greek, believe you received. Believe you received and you shall have them. But then verse number 25, watch this. And connects what he had says to what he's about to say. And when you stand praying, talking about praying the prayer of faith, if you have aught against any, that's King James, aught. You know what aught means? Any little thing. Not just big things, but any little thing. New King James says, if you have anything against anyone, anything against anyone, anything against anyone, glory to God, forgive them. If you have aught against any, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, glory to God. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, everybody say Father, forgive you your trespasses. Now, Jesus said this more than once. He talked in these terms of you won't be forgiven if you don't forgive. And I know that confuses a lot of people because, you know, what's he talking about? And, you know, these are not salvation scriptures. I want you to understand something here because we're going to look at these. This is not the only place Jesus said this. This scripture and the ones we'll look at are talking about God the Father dealing with His children. They are not talking about forgiveness of sins in order to be saved. You follow what I'm saying? They're telling us that if we as God's child won't forgive others, then we will not receive the parental forgiveness we need to stay in fellowship with Him. He's not talking about forgiveness of sins and you're born again and you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We understand that. We realize that. Glory to God. He is our Father God. But if you want to receive parental forgiveness and walk in the light, and see, because people that aren't walking in the light, people that have broken fellowship with the Father, they can't really expect their prayers to be answered. I'm not talking about you made a mistake and asked God to forgive you. You're back in the light. But if you're living in some sin or practicing some sin and have unconfessed sin in your life, then we can't expect, you know, to have our prayers answered. Many scriptures along those lines. But we're talking about parental forgiveness. We need to stay in fellowship with Him. And then our prayers won't work and Satan will have access into our lives. Are you following me? That's why somebody like Andrew Womack in his Bible commentary says this about Mark 11, 25 and 26. You know, he just got through teaching on faith, but he says, hey, unforgiveness in our hearts will keep our prayers and our faith from being answered. And person after 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 person will say, faith won't work if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Amen. And so Jesus, like I said, he talked along these lines in other places in the Lord's Prayer. I think a better name for that would be the model prayer. He's telling us how we should pray. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start your prayer. See, a model prayer, an example prayer. Start your prayer by praising and worshiping God. And you go right on through that prayer. And he said, Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, what if you don't forgive your debtors? Amen. You know, in Luke 6:37, it says, forgive and you Christians will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. If you look at Luke and you put it with Matthew's, that's the place where he's saying if you're going to be judgmental and critical and unforgiving, then that's going to come back on you. Amen. With the same measure that you, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. If you're going to be critical of others, you're going to be criticized. If you're going to be judgmental, it's going to come back on you. See? And so he says, and he goes on in the Lord's Prayer, goes on in verse 14 to say, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, that means something, doesn't it? Like I said, in my mind, it's real clear. He's talking about parental forgiveness. And then in Matthew chapter 18, you know, he talked along those lines. This is the story of Peter. You know, Peter said, Lord, am I doing really good if I forgive somebody up to 7 whole times, Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm doing good. And Jesus said, no, how about 70 times 70? And all in one day. If you have to forgive somebody 490 times a day, that's, in other words, always forgive them. And you know, the man went out and he had a, it's a wonderful story to read that whole story. You can read all of that in Matthew 18. But he had a debt he could not pay. And in today's economy, he owed millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Some modern day translations say over 100 million. He had a debt that in his particular situation, he could never repay it. And his master forgave him and released him the whole debt, just like Jesus forgave us our debt that we can never repay. Aren't you glad? But he went out and found somebody that just owed him like 15 bucks. And he grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me. And the guy couldn't pay him. And this man that had been forgiven of so much had that man thrown into prison. And so in verse number 32, it says, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Well, again, you're going to have to interpret that some way. That's sobering, isn't it? He's simply telling us that if we don't forgive, Satan will have access into our lives to torture us. See, he's the torturer. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we don't forgive others, then we'll be turned over to the torturers, amen, physically, mentally, and financially. I like, you know, Warren Wiersbe in his commentary says it this way. This is on Matthew 18. He said, the world's worst prison is the prison of an unforgiving heart. If we refuse to forgive others, then we are only imprisoning ourselves and causing our own torment. Some of the most miserable people I have ever met in my ministry have been people who would not forgive others. They lived only to imagine ways to punish these people who had wronged them, but they were really only punishing themselves. Our Lord's warning is serious. Now listen, He did not say that God saves only those who forgive others. The theme of this parable is forgiveness between brothers, not salvation for lost sinners. Jesus warned us that God cannot forgive us if we do not humble and have repentant hearts. We reveal the true condition of our hearts by the way we treat others. When our hearts are humble and repentant, we will gladly forgive our brothers. But where there is pride and desire for revenge, there can be no true repentance, and this means that God cannot forgive. You know, I heard Brother Hagin say it many, many, many times, but he said, if my prayers were not being answered, if my faith was not working, the very first thing I would do was check up on my love life. The very first thing I would do is make sure I wasn't holding the least bit of ill will or animosity toward anybody. And he would always add, you know, I absolutely refuse to hold the least bit of ill will toward anybody. Amen. Pat Robertson, you know, and Pat Robertson is, I was thinking about this morning, Pat is really, you know, built the giant CBN network, ran for president. You know, when Pat Robertson ran for president, he won several primaries, came in real high up in those primaries. And we have all the stuff going on today about, you know, Christian's voice in government, but he's been the leading Christian conservative, in the last 50, 60 years. But anyway, Pat Robertson answered a question. Somebody asked him, what is the sin that particularly, everybody say particularly, what sin particularly blocks the flow of miracle power? You know, if you need to be healed like Tony, you don't want anything blocking the flow of healing power. If you got some kind of family problem, you don't want any blockage, do you? Spiritual blockage. If you need help, you don't want any spiritual blockage. What sin particularly blocks the flow of miracle power? Pat Robertson said, lack of forgiveness blocks access to the kingdom and to miracle power. He says the first person you probably haven't forgiven is yourself. He said the second person may be God. Sometimes people are mad at God and they're blaming God. The third person may have to be a member of your family. Finally, there has to be forgiveness for anybody else who has ever done anything against you. It may be that your resentment is justified. God never says just to forgive people if, you know. God never said what they did to you was right. He didn't say you were approving of what they did for you. Your anger, what they did to you may have been very wrong, but God tells us to forgive no matter what they did to us. Amen. We let them off our hook. That doesn't mean they're off God's hook, but that's between them and God. And thank God He's a God of mercy. And whether we like it or not, they deserve mercy and they deserve forgiveness, just like we deserve mercy and just like we deserve forgiveness because of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. Finally, there has to be forgiveness for anybody who has ever done anything against you. It may be that your resentment is justified. The person may have done a very terrible thing to you. You may have every legal and intellectual and emotional right to hold a grudge and to even hate that person. But if you want to see miracles in your life, it's absolutely imperative that you forgive. Forgive them to the point where you actually feel yourself cleansed of resentment and bitterness and are actually praying for them. If you do not, the lack of forgiveness will make it impossible for God to forgive you. Every miracle depends 100% on your relationship to God the Father. That relationship is built strictly on the strength and forgiveness of your sin. Forgiveness is the key. Other sins can be present, and if your heart condemns you for something else, then of course you do not have confidence before God and you need to repent of that. But it's a lack of forgiveness that most often comes between God and people and blocks the flow of miracle working power. Amen. You know that Jesus never mentioned but one hindrance to prayer and one hindrance to faith. There is more than one hindrance to prayer, and there's more than one thing that can hinder our faith. But Jesus only mentioned one hindrance to the prayer of faith, and that is unforgiveness. He said that because He wanted to emphasize this because it's such a big deal. You know, generally speaking, we don't emphasize sins of the heart. Jealousy, envy, strife, unforgiveness, bitterness. We emphasize physical sins. But I believe with all my heart that sins of the heart will get you in trouble faster and quicker with God than even physical sins. Amen. And listen, it's true, any sin that people just, you know, I'm not talking about struggling with sin and trying to overcome it and asking God to forgive you and help you, but if people just backslide and get away from God and they're living in sin, they're practicing sin, well, of course, that's going to hinder your prayers from working. But we're talking about the one that most often works against people. And this one, you know, if somebody's just out there living for the devil, they just feel too condemned to even come to church. But people come to church week after week after week with all kind of bitterness and grudges in their heart and spent half the week talking bad about other people, didn't think anything about it. But then they don't realize whether they're not getting results. Amen. I said amen. See, the New Testament commandment of the church is what? Love one another. To him who is love. What do you think the greatest sin is? Those that violate the law of love. In God's eyes, I'm just simply saying this is a big deal. Amen? So we just quickly looked at those scriptures. Amen. Here's some others that go along with that. 2 Corinthians 2:11. In context, it says Satan, 2 Corinthians 2:11, Satan will take advantage of you. How many of you want Satan to take advantage of you? Nobody, huh? Satan will take advantage of us in context if we have unforgiveness in our hearts. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians 11, here's the background. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. You know the Corinthians, don't you? Boy, they was a carnal bunch. had the gifts of the Spirit flowing in there, but they were a carnal bunch. They was in strife with one another. They shamed one another. They let people do without, even at the communion table. They shamed the poor. They showed disrespect of persons. They took one another to court and sued one another, had all kind of strife and division in the church. And so in taking communion, the believers didn't discern, the Bible says. They didn't discern. To discern means to see and understand. They didn't see and understand and appropriate by faith the benefits of the body of Christ. Amen. They didn't understand and discern and see that Christ's body was broken for their physical well-being and healing. You have to know that, and you have to appropriate it by faith, or it won't be true in your life. So they didn't discern the Lord's physical body, but neither did they discern the Lord's spiritual body. The Lord's spiritual body is all of us, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. They didn't discern that we are one, and they didn't walk in love toward other believers. Like I said, they shamed the poor. They didn't forgive one another. They were in strife with each other. They showed respect of persons. They were uncaring and inconsiderate. They were mistreating other members of the body of Christ. And so for this reason, not discerning the Lord's physical body and not discerning the Lord's spiritual body. Verse 30 says, because you did not discern the Lord's body, many of you, this is powerful. Many of you are weak and sick, and many sleep. That means they died prematurely. Are we given any reasons why a Christian might be weak, might be sick? Yes, here's one. Many of you are weak and sick, and many sleep. And then verse 31 says, but if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What does that mean? That means to repent. Just judge yourself and say, that's wrong. I shouldn't be treating that person that way. I shouldn't hold something against that person. I should forgive that person. I shouldn't be critical of them. I shouldn't be talking against them. Instead of making excuses for it and blame shifting and all that, just say, I'm wrong. God forgive me. And he says, if we would do that, then we would never be judged. In other words, in context, he's saying if we would judge ourselves and repent because we haven't been walking in love, because we haven't been treating the members of the body of Christ right, then God will forgive us and you'll never be judged. I like that. You'll never be judged, don't you? Amen. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 again. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not, verse 9, not. Stop right there. In the Greek, this word not is very strong. It means don't ever do this. That's what it means. It means if you're doing this, quit it. Stop doing this. Don't ever do this. Talking to believers. What? Return. King James says rendering or returning. Don't give. Don't pay back. Don't retaliate evil for evil. What does that mean, evil for evil? He's talking about evil here means somebody has wronged you. Somebody did you dirty. Somebody mistreated you in some way. Don't render wrong treatment for wrong treatment. Don't render, mistreatment for mistreatment. Those things are evil. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Quit doing that. When someone does you wrong, don't retaliate. Don't give evil for evil. Don't return evil deeds for evil deeds or railing for railing. New King James says reviling for reviling. Most modern translations say insult for insult. And then you can see all kinds of different words. With these words, reviling, they're talking about words that you speak with your mouth. In other words, if they discredit you, don't you in turn discredit them. If they talk bad about you, don't you return that and talk bad about them. Don't discredit them. Don't wound them. Don't slander them. Don't malign them. Don't criticize them. Don't libel them. Don't abuse them. Don't insult them with your words. Don't pay back evil deeds, wrong actions for wrong actions. Don't retaliate. Don't pay them back. And don't criticize them. Don't pay back. You know, they're mean to you. Don't with your words, sin against them. If they hurt or wound or slander or insult you with their words and talk bad about you, how many of you like to be talked bad about? Oh, we all love that, don't we? I mean, that just makes our day. Or somebody says something about us, but it's only half true. In a minute in this passage, he's going to talk about guile. Guile is being deceptive. So if I'm talking to you about Margaret, but I'm not telling you, if I know things, I'm not telling you, I'm just telling you the part that I think tries to get you on my side against her, that's guile. See, because I'm not telling you the whole story. I'm leaving out parts that are favorable toward her that might make you understand her side of the issue. See, that's deceptive. And so he says, don't do that. Don't you in turn do the same thing to them, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. The easy to read version says, don't do wrong to anyone or pay them back for doing wrong to you. Or don't insult anyone or pay them back for insulting you. See, love always forgives, and love does not speak evil of others, ever. Love doesn't speak of others. Please listen. This is so important. So he says, don't do this, but on the contrary, don't retaliate with evil, especially evil words against those who do you wrong. Any kind of language that hurts another person is evil. Any kind of language that portrays them in a negative light, makes them look bad, is evil. It's wrong. But, verse 9, middle of the verse, on the contrary, bless them. Amen. On the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. It's interesting when you look up the word blessing, it almost always has to do with speaking words of blessing over another person. Well, that's exactly what you want to do when they've been criticizing you and talking bad about you and saying half-truths about you and painting the wrong image of you and saying ugly words about you. Then you want to turn around and just bless them with your words, don't you? That's not my knee-jerk reaction. But he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do that. Remember Jesus said this? Remember what Jesus said? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you and abuse you and hurt you and wrong you in some way. Bless, don't curse. Do good, don't hate. And pray for those who are actually trying to hurt you and mistreat you and use you and do you dirty in some way. That's what Jesus said. Amen. He says, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. How many of you want to be blessed? The word blessing there has to do with your total well-being. He said, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be healthy, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be secure, if you want to be protected, if you want to be happy, if you want what's best for you, then don't return evil for evil, cursing for cursing, insult for insult. But on the contrary, you be a blessing to them, and you just speak words of blessing to them, and you in turn will be blessed. Spirit, soul, and body. Oh, isn't that powerful? Glory to God. Oh, verse 10. Amen. Now again, I understand your knee-jerk reaction is not to do that. The flesh wants to slap their jaws and talk bad about them and see them suffer. Might as well admit it. God already knows what you're thinking. I hope they don't get that raise. I hope they fall. I don't want them to break their neck, but I hope it hurts when they fall down. But God says if you'll instead bless them, then you will be blessed. Huh. Oh my. Verse 10, 4. He who would love life. That's a quote from Psalms 34, 12 through 16. If you go back and look at Psalms 12, you'll see that it says this, he who would love many days. That means if you want to live a long time on the earth. How many of you love life? For he who would love life and see good days. Not bad days, but those aren't good days when you can't get answers to your prayers. Those aren't good days when your faith won't work. Those aren't good days when the Satan has legal access into your life. In other words, you know, listen, I understand the crisis of life come to all of us. You know, Jesus said, in this world you shall have temptations, tests, and trials. Problems come to all of us. But glory to God, we can use our faith and we can believe God and stand on His Word and stand on the promises and overcome everything that comes against us in life. So, but if you can't, that to me, a bad day is when you can't overcome. You want good days where you're walking in God's fullness, where you're walking in His provision, where you're experiencing His blessings. And if you're attacked by the devil, you're able to overcome and walk in victory. He who would love life and see good days. How many of you want to see good days? We miss it. We miss it here. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Oh, yeah, you shouldn't cuss and talk. In context, that's not what he's talking about. Let him refrain his tongue from the evil of... He's talking about let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil of other people. Without a shadow of doubt, that's the context of this. Amen. Don't return insult for insult, injury for injury. If they talk bad about you, you bless them. See, evil speaking is when you portray them in a bad light, when you say ugly things about them, when you criticize them, and your words, the words you speak to them or about them are abusive. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Glory to God, and his lips from speaking deceit. Amen. The evil of using your tongue, your words, to speak evil about others. When we use our words to tear down people, to slander, to hurt, to criticize, to speak against, then we're violating the scripture. We're not turning away from evil. And his lips that they do no guile. Guile just goes with talking about other people. We're in some kind of argument, you know. And I'm trying to get you on my side. So, you know, somebody said there's three sides to every argument. My side, your side, and the right side. Well, that's usually the case. It's not always the case. Sometimes God would agree that your side is right. But, you know, but so oftentimes, and when people are talking about others, and they're deception is just involved. They're just saying things that aren't totally, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, little white lies or just leaving out part of the truth or only telling a partial truth. Well, if you're only telling the partial truth about what they said or what they did, then it's really not the truth, is it? And that is guile. That is deception. So he said, if you want to love life and enjoy many good days, then refrain your tongue from speaking evil of other people and from using deceitful terms. And verse 11, and let him turn away from evil. Talking specifically about the evil of returning evil for evil and not forgiving people and not talking blessing people, but instead reviling them and cursing them. Turn away from that evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Are you following me? Glory to God. Again, in context, when people are unforgiving and angry and upset with somebody, oftentimes when they talk about them, their words are deceitful, and they portray that person in a bad light that's not totally accurate, it's not totally truthful. One translation says, do you really love life and want to be happy? Then stop saying cruel things. Another one says, if you want to enjoy true life and see good days, then avoid saying anything hurtful. Amen. Amen. So the evil of returning wrong for wrong, for speaking against others. Verse 12, righteous. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. How many of you know that you're righteous in Christ Jesus? You're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. That's your legal standing before Almighty God. You are righteous. And that's not what the scripture is talking about. The word righteous throughout the Bible also means living right, acting like, behaving right. And the specific behavior that he's talking about is that you, instead of returning evil for evil and slander for slander and criticism for criticism, you forgive other people. Amen. You overcome evil with good. You use your words to bless them, not to hurt them and not to tear them down. The Lord's eyes of the Lord are open to those that are right. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. How many of you know you don't want the face of the Lord against you? The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, who in context return wrong for wrong and return bad words for bad words. The face of the Lord, he doesn't hear their prayers. He doesn't answer their prayers, but his ears are open to the prayers of those that do right, who love and forgive and say good words over people. Amen. His ears are open is an expression found throughout the Old Testament particularly that means if the Lord's ears are open to you, that means he hears and answers and rescues you and delivers you. How many of you want his ears to be open to your prayers? Glory to God. Amen. So Brother Hagin said, you know, in his teachings on this, he says, you could read this, the eyes of the Lord are on those who do right. Or you could say the eyes of the Lord are over those who walk in love, and his ears are open to their prayers. Glory to God. And the face of the Lord is against those who speak evil of others. He said you could translate it that way. I'll say it again. The eyes of the Lord are over those who do right. The eyes of the Lord are over those who walk in love. His ears are open to their prayers. Glory to God. But the face of the Lord is against those who speak evil of others. Then he said, there are no hindrances to your prayers when you're walking in the God kind of love. None. No hindrance. Glory to God. Then you can receive any and all of these spiritual blessings that rightfully belong to you. I'm telling you, glory to God. God's love never says anything bad about anyone. And people might not realize this like they should, but prayers are hindered, faith is hindered, and Satan is allowed to cause much harm in people's lives who fail to forgive and who use their tongues to criticize and speak evil of others. And the more I live, the longer I live, I see a direct connection many times, and people don't even make the connection, but things aren't going good, and people can't seem to get their prayers to work, and their people can't see. I'm talking about in my own life. I can relate it back to just, you idiot, some driver I don't even know. Well, that wasn't speaking a blessing over him, was it? Brother Hagin tells a very famous story about the lady that hated her mother-in-law. She was a minister. Her husband was a minister. You know, because Brother Hagin had made reference to the scripture in John that says, you know, if you hate your brother, then the love of God's in you. You're not saved, in other words. He said, that includes mother-in-laws. He just said that by the Spirit. That includes mother-in-laws, too. Well, this lady, after the service, you know, they're having dinner together because her and her husband are both ministers. She speaks in tongues, preaches the gospel, you know, and she says, you confused me tonight. He goes, no, I didn't. You were already confused. I just shared the word and it shed light on the confusion that was already there. He said, but what's your problem? She said, I hate my mother-in-law. He told her, well, according to the scriptures, then you're not saved. She said, well, Brother Hagin, I was born again when I was a little girl. I've gone to church all my life. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't care if you hate your, do you hate your mother? Yes, I hate her. She was real bold. I hate her. Her mother-in-law gave her, you know, didn't get along with her, gave her a hard time. She thought no woman was good enough for her boy. You know, that can happen sometimes. Long story short, it's a wonderful testimony, but long story short, he got her to see, you know, he said to her, he said, look at me straight in your eyes and say, I hate my mother-in-law, and she did. And she said, she looked him in the eye and said, I hate my mother-in-law. And he said, now what happened on the inside of you? She said, well, it seems like something's kind of scratching down there. Something's kind of, in other words, just bothering me. My conscience kind of bothered me when I said that. He said, that's your spirit. He said, you're just letting your flesh dominate you. You're born again. You're a Christian. You don't really hate your mother-in-law. You're just letting your flesh dominate you. And he told her to forgive her and to forgive her by faith and act like he loved her and act like she had feelings of love toward her, whether she felt like it or not. And she did. And she found out she really did love her. But that's only the first part of that story. This mother had a child just 2 and 3 years old who had epilepsy. Well, she took the child to the leading specialist in their area. And this leading specialist said, I've been practicing medicine for 38 years, specializing just in this one thing, treating people with epilepsy. And he said, your daughter has the worst case by far of anybody I have ever seen. And so, you know, she came along, and this little girl would have a preliminary attack that would kind of lead into the main attack. And so she went into one of those preliminary attacks. Brother Hagin is still in the area preaching. And so she called and said, would you come and pray for her? And he said, I'll come. And so he's driving over there. And he said, now I'll just give it to you in his words because it'll be faster this way. Listen carefully. He said, my wife and I got into the car to go to their house to pray. And just as real as though you were sitting in the back seat, I heard what seemed to me an audible voice. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now listen, he says, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you, because it can mean the difference between life and death. It can mean the difference between how long you live on the earth and whether or not you get healed. And now, lad, it'll mean the difference of whether or not you see good days or bad days. So listen carefully. As we were driving over there, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't pray for the child. Don't lay hands on the child. When you get there, say to the mother. I said in the old covenant, walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. Do that which is right. See, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, on those that do right. Walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, do what is right in my sight, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, and the number of your days you will fulfill. That means you won't die prematurely. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, paraphrasing that in New Testament language, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another. In other words, the only commandment we're given in the New Testament is to love one another. We are commanded to love one another, aren't we? So he said, you could translate this, what the Spirit of God was saying to me. We were saying, if you'll keep my commandment of love, amen, instead of walking into all my statutes and all this, and, you know, the laws. And No. If you'll just simply keep my commandment of love, I will take sickness away from the midst of you in New Testament terms, and the number of your days I will fulfill. You get that? Then the Holy Spirit said to me, when you get there, don't lay hands on her. Just look to the mother, tell her what I said, and then tell her, say, now, mother, you tell Satan, Satan, I'm walking in love now. Take your hands off my daughter. We arrived at the couple's house. I told the mother exactly what God had said to me. You know, you're walking in love. In other words, in New Testament terms, there's nothing hindering you. There's nothing stopping your faith from working. You're walking. Now, she hadn't been walking in love just a day before, but now she is. Aren't you glad for His mercy? I told this mother exactly what God had instructed me to say. The mother immediately turned and pointed to her child, who was having a seizure right then, and said, Satan, I'm walking in love now. Take your hands off my child. And as fast as you could snap your fingers, the seizure stopped and the child was normal. Every symptom instantly left that little girl. Huh. Then Brother Hagin says, you see, if you're not walking in love, you won't be able to do that. The devil will just laugh at you the entire time you're rebuking him. Why? Because the Bible says to give the devil no place, Ephesians 4:27, if you're not walking in love, you're giving the devil a place in your life. You're opening the door to him. But start walking in love, and you'll be walking in the Spirit. It doesn't take long to get in the Spirit. Just repent and ask the Lord to forgive you for not walking in love. Then determine from that moment forward, I'm going to walk in love. Then you are in a position to put the devil in his place. He says, because we've emphasized over and over and over again in this series, and we emphasize it all the time, that you have to resist the devil. You know, even if you experience a marvelous miracle of God, you know, the devil may come back and try to steal it from you. He may try to, you know, give you some circumstances or symptoms to say it's not true. What should you do when that comes? Resist the devil, resist the devil, resist the devil. No, you don't, in the name of Jesus. I will not take this. The Word of God says you have to. There's great power in resistance. 5 years later, these parents of this epileptic child visited one of my meetings. 5 years later. By that time, the child was 8 years old. I asked them how their daughter was doing. The couple said she's been in perfect health. In fact, she had the highest IQ of anyone in her school. I asked them, in this 5-year period, has she ever had any symptoms? The mother said twice there were some little symptoms that showed up. So we asked her, what'd you do? She said, I just said, oh, no, you don't. What's that? That's resisting the devil. No, you don't, devil. I'm walking in love, and our daughter was all right. That happened many, many years ago. Now in 1991, some 25 years later than that, Brother Hagin, I saw these people at our annual camp meeting. Our wife and I asked them how their daughter was doing, and she said from that time to this, she never had another seizure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, you read in the Bible where it implies sometimes that people are sick, for instance, because of some. You know, not people are sick just because they don't know what belongs to them. Anybody can be attacked by the devil. But sometimes people are sick because they've opened the door to the devil because of some sin. And you see people all gnarled up with all kinds of problems sometimes. And it relates back to unforgiveness and bitterness and sinning with their tongue by talking bad about other people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. Mark 11:25 says, if you have aught against any, aught, any little thing at all. Sometimes we say, well, I know I'm supposed to forgive big things, but what about, well, we're supposed to forgive big things, middle-sized things, and little-sized things. Do you have anything against anybody? Question. Do you have a grudge against anybody? Hard feelings towards somebody? Do you resent somebody? Have you got any kind of ill will towards somebody? I'm saying it this way because, you know, we never want people to just condemn themselves and let the devil condemn them and drag up things you've already been forgiven for. I realize that. But on the other hand, you know, one time a guy come to me and he was a friend and you know, but he's also a church member and I just kept feeling impressed like, well, do you have anything against anybody? He kept telling me no. And I said, well, why don't you just ask the Lord? And he said, well, Lord, just show it to me. And I said, now just call their names out loud. Holy Toledo, he called out everybody in the church, including me. I'm not exaggerating. Another guy was talking about, this is a strong word of faith believer, strong man that believed in healing. He's dealing with a terminal disease that did eventually kill him. A little bit upset that a couple of people have went and talked to him about, make sure you don't have any unforgiveness in your heart. I know that. I'm not stupid. I'm not, you know. Then he came to my office one day, because sometimes we'd pray for 2 or 3 hours together and just praise God for his healing. So he came to my office one day and some people were doing something. You know, you have to be careful about not getting offended for somebody else. You know, what they did to your son, what they did to your wife, what they did to your, get offended for your daughter, your son. And he didn't feel like his wife's parents and some of the family members were treating her right. And he said, I deeply resent the way they're treating her. I said, well, old buddy, you do understand that if you resent what they're doing, that means you have a lot of unforgiveness in your heart against them. You hold a grudge against them. That just seemed to take him back by surprise. Let me ask you a question. Do you have aught against anybody? Any hard feelings, any ill resentment, any ill will toward anybody? Is there anybody that you just give the cold shoulder when you see them? You thought about unforgiveness, not forgiving. You're not forgiving them approval. You're not forgiving them love. You're not forgiving them respect. And so you see somebody and you're just like, I don't have anything against them. No? You just don't want to have anything to do with them, huh? What they have done may have been terribly wrong to you, but you ought to be able to at least be able to say, I want you to know I love you and I want God's best for you. And if you can't say that about somebody, then you need to check your heart. Is there anybody that anytime their name comes up, you just automatically start talking about them and don't portray them necessarily the best light? Forgiving them doesn't mean they didn't do wrong. That's another message. Is there anybody you can't speak peaceably to? Is there anybody you can't speak peaceably about? Is there somebody that you talk bad about anytime their name comes up? And when you do talk about somebody, you always belittle them in some way, make them look small in the eyes of the people listening to you in some way, or you criticize them in some ways. You always portray them in a bad light in some way. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Don't let the devil condemn you of something that you've already forgiven. Just because the devil brings a picture of somebody's mind to you that did you dirty doesn't mean you hadn't forgiven. But if there's somebody that you know in your heart this morning that you just need to forgive, or if you just say, well, just in general, I'm not just, you know, don't have this great bitterness and resentment in my heart against other people. Listen to me carefully. But I realized this morning, I talk bad about people sometimes. I take the attitude, I don't mean anything about it, bad about it, but I realized this morning from God's viewpoint that that's not good. I am guilty of criticizing people, slandering people, portraying them in a bad light, saying words that I really wouldn't want them to know that's the way I'm talking about them. Then ask God to forgive you. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Paul said, for this reason, some of you are sickly, you're just kind of weak, you're not doing good physically, and some people have even died prematurely because you're not walking in love toward other members of the body of Christ. If you talk bad about other people, you are not, well, me, we're not talking, we're not walking in love. If you need to repent of any of that, then do it right now. Just check yourself and repent. Because if you repent, you'll instantly be right with God. There'll be no hindrance to your faith life, no hindrance to your prayer life, no hindrance to you when you resist the devil. Glory to God. Now let's all stand up together. Thank you, Jesus. Say this out loud with me. Glory to God. Say, I refuse. I absolutely refuse to hold anything, big or small, against anybody. I will guard my tongue from this day forward. I will not talk bad about anyone. I will not talk bad about anybody. I tell you, if you'll make that commitment, God will help you. You'll find out that, I almost every day of my life I go, and then I have to grab myself, because what I'm going to say and what I want to say would not be portraying them in a good light. Say it again. I make the decision. I will guard my tongue from this day forward. I will not talk bad about anybody. I don't hold anything against anybody in Jesus' name. Now say this. Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my children. Take your hands off my life. Take your hands off my church. Take your hands off any and everything that concerns my life. I will see good days. I will overcome. My prayers work. My faith works. I will receive all these blessings that Jesus bought and paid for. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. And the devil is defeated and run off in my life. Now lift your hands and praise God for it and thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Walking in love has always been a central theme and an important thing because it's a central theme in the Bible. And, you know, I begin to learn about major characteristics of love. And the very first thing I loved is, you know, about you need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to forgive. I first learned that, and I realized, you know, there were two people in my life. I'm just 23, 24-year-old policeman riding around in my car, and I realized there was a high school teacher and a guy I worked for that I was like, you know, you brought their names up. I was like, I hate that guy's guts. Now, as a Christian, you go, oh, that's not really too good, but, you know. And so I realized you got to forgive. Then I realized, well, walking in love is more than forgiveness. You got to have compassion on people. And so you begin to realize that love, if you love, you're a giver. You know, become a giver. Love is giving. Love is forgiving. Love is compassionate. Amen. Love, and it's not just always talking about the way other people treat you wrong. Love treats people the right way. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want it done to you, then don't do it unto you. And then I begin to learn as the years went by, I begin to learn, oh, the tongue, the tongue, the tongue, the tongue. If I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to have to control my tongue. And of all the things I ever learned about love, that was the big one. That was the hardest one to deal with. It's just so easy in just casual conversation to put people down in some way or another, or to slander them in some way, or to malign them, you know, in other words, say things about them that aren't good. I'm reminded of my Baptist Sunday school teacher, you know, saying just when I'm in the fifth and sixth grade, saying, if you can't say something good about somebody, then don't say something at all. Well, if you'll really make a commitment to that, some of you aren't going to hardly say anything next week. But it's one of the most important Christian principles I have ever learned. And I'm not perfected in love, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And I am makes all the difference. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody happy?
Yes.
If you're saved and you know it, shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk out of this place, and I believe, because I've never seen it fail. Matter of fact, I believe the healing power of God is in special manifestation right now, right now, right now, right now. There are no hindrances to you. It's just right there. Just reach up and take yours. Say, glory to God, I receive it. You'll find out that when you resist the devil, he'll go from you because he doesn't have any right to stay anymore because you're walking in love. And you're going to stay in love, and I'm going to stay in love, and we are going to love one another and care for one another, and we're going to bless one another with our words and say good things about one another. Even those people that don't deserve it. Even those politicians that don't deserve it. Uh-oh. Now, at the same time, I'm praying that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody. I'll leave you with that. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.